Good morning. This is Wynn Greer coming to you with the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. The Bible says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it's good to be here on this beautiful Tuesday morning in Watauga County. I really love fall and the warm weather like this. It's really nice and days we can get out and enjoy. I hope you're able to do that. But we do appreciate you listening in, and it's good to have Dave Blanks in the studio this morning. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Wynn, I'm excellent. Thanks for having me.
Good, and it's good to have Noah, my son, with us here today. He's in the studio. He doesn't have a microphone, but he probably wouldn't talk anyway. But anyway, he's along with me today. So I appreciate David, Preacher David Ward. He filled in last week, and I heard he done a good job.
Nice guy,
I haven't heard it yet. Had you never met him before?
No, I think that was the first time we met.
But he's been on Sunday mornings now for a couple years at least.
Yeah, he was pretty comfortable behind the mic.
I don't know. I wouldn't just ask anybody because it can be an intimidating thing. If you're not used to it, you know, to come in. Do something on the radio, unless you're a professional like Dave.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Hear him all the time. So I appreciate him doing that. And today I'm going to do a proverb out of Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse number 3. And I've been encouraging folks for a long time now, I don't know how long, but to read a proverb a day. It's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. That's one for every day of the month. And today is October the 19th, so I'm going to read out of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 3, and that'll sort of lead into what I want to talk about today. And Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 3, the Bible says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." I'll read that again. "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." And I was reading through Proverbs chapter 19 yesterday and again this morning, and I was trying to pick out an appropriate proverb for the day and what I felt like would be good for us and what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do today. And he directed me to this proverb. There's a couple of things in verse number 3 that I want to point out. First of all, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. Now, a fool in the Bible is not what we think of as a fool sometimes. You know, you think about a fool, you think about the court jester. Those of you that read the comics, The Wizard of Id, I think the guy's name is Bung or Bing or Bong or something like that. But anyway, he's the court fool. But that's not, or the class clown. You know, you think about the class clown.
It's kind of
like
a light sort of.
Yeah, but in the Bible, it's not like that. A fool in the Bible, if you study it out, is an evil person. A fool in the Bible is a person that is an unbeliever, a mocker of God's word, an infidel, an atheist, somebody that wants to live their life outside of God's direction and God's laws and the influence of God. In fact, Psalms 14 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." That's an atheist. That's an unbeliever. And so the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And so a fool, according to the Bible, a biblical fool, I guess would be a good way to put it, lives life without God or the fear of God. And so the Bible says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way." That means that it gets his life all messed up and out of sorts and crooked and on the wrong path. So the foolishness of man perverteth his way. And then the second part said, "And his heart," talking about the heart of the foolish person, the person who wants to live their life apart from God's influence and God's directions, "his heart fretteth against the Lord." And that word "fretteth" there, it means to boil up, to be peevish or angry. That's like a little child getting mad about something and throwing a fit or a conniption or a hissy fit or whatever. You know, just throwing a tantrum. "His heart fretteth against the Lord." So what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to give an update on what I talked about. It's been probably 3 weeks ago now, maybe 4 weeks ago, on the Christian flag controversy in King. And that is where in King, North Carolina, the ACLU has threatened to sue the town of King because at their Veterans War Memorial, they have a Christian flag. And there's about 7 or 8 flags that are there, the American flag, POW flag, Marine flag, Air Force flag, Army flag, you know, all those flags. And then there was a Christian flag. And the ACLU, somebody complained about that, so they threatened to sue the town of King. The ACLU was also involved a few years ago. And even today, you see signs in people's yards, the Ten Commandments, those blue signs. That got started, and you see the Ten Commandments all over the place where you didn't before, but it got started because in Alabama, there was a judge down there. His name is Roy Moore. And he had the Ten Commandments in the courthouse there, and the ACLU came along, and remember there was a big controversy, and they was going to sue him and had him in court and all of these things, ordering him to get the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom or the courthouse. I can't remember exactly what it was, but the ACLU was involved in that. The ACLU is right now involved in I think it's in California out in the desert. There's a memorial, a veterans memorial out there, and it's a cross. And it's been out there for, I think I remember reading, about 50 years. Well, somebody complained about that, and now you can go online and find all this stuff. They've got a piece of card or a plywood that has covered the cross where you can't tell what it is, and the ACLU is involved in that as well. And also, a couple of weeks ago in the paper, the ACLU is involved in representing a girl right here in the state of North Carolina who has a nose ring. And the school that she goes to, it's against the rules to have a nose ring, but she is a member of the Church of Body Modification. And so the ACLU is defending her right to have a nose ring in her nose. Now, I mean, if you study into all what the ACLU is involved in, some of the craziest stuff and some of the most anti-Christian stuff that you can think of. And so they're involved in trying to get they removed the flag down there in King, but there is a 24-hour vigil. There's veterans. Pastor Broyhill, who was a guest on the radio broadcast a few weeks ago, he told me that there was a group of bikers, Christian bikers, who were also involved in camping out. They've got their own Christian flag out there. Somebody has to stay with it 24 hours a day. And they've been doing this now for several weeks. And so I bring up that example of the ACLU to say, along the lines of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 3, that when you find a anti-God sentiment, many times it is a fool or somebody who wants to live their life apart from or without the influence of God, or a group of fools who are fretting, who are mad at God for one reason or the other. And I think about the ACLU when I think about Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 3. The ACLU, if you study about it, like many organizations, it started out as a good thing, but it has corrupted into, and they do all kinds of, I mean, you can go to their website and see all what they're involved in. But let me make this announcement before going on today. That's Proverbs 19, verse 3. The Christian flag rally. And if you go to Facebook, if you're a follower on Facebook, you can type in Christian Flag Dash King and find out all the information about this you want to. And they've got now over 3,000, almost 4,000 friends, I think, on there, and even a lot from up here in the high country. And I would invite you to go and find that website on Facebook, Christian Flag Dash King. But the Christian Flag Rally is going to be in King, North Carolina this Saturday, October the 23rd. It will begin at 10:30 at the parking lot of the Calvary Baptist Church on Main Street. And if you are planning on going down to that or interested in going to that, the flyer says no protest signs, but bring an American flag or a Christian flag. And so I want to talk about that today. And I'm going to, you know, we might even ask ourselves a question. Why is that important to me? You know, that's in King, North Carolina. We're in Boone, North Carolina. That's a long ways away. Why should that even be important to us? Why should I talk about it? I'm going to talk about it because I believe it's very pertinent to the fact of the blessings of liberty and having liberty and our Christian liberties and our freedoms that we have as Americans. To me, it's not only an attack against Christianity, which I believe that it is, and the ACLU is very involved all across our country in attacking Christian liberties, but it's not only an attack against Christianity, but it is an attempt to erase our heritage. You cannot get away from the fact that in America, our heritage is a heritage of Christianity and the Bible, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, churches that preach out of the Bible. I mean, this is our heritage. And there is a influence today in society that would like to sanitize, cleanse our society, take every vestige, every memorial, every reference to God out of our society. And you cannot do that. Psalm 16 and verse number 6, King David said this. He said, "The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places." And if you were to read all of Psalms chapter number 16, what he's talking about there is his family and his spiritual lineage. And so he's saying the lines or the lineage is fallen unto me in pleasant places. He says, "Yea, I have a goodly heritage." He was thankful for the heritage that he had. And in America, we need to not forget about our heritage. America is a nation whose heritage is Christianity. And you can start anywhere along the timeline that you want to, and you can just dive in right there and anywhere in the history of America, from the pilgrims who came over on the Mayflower all the way up into 2010, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II. Jump in anywhere along the 200 plus years of our history and you will find Christianity right there in the middle of it. The founding of it, right on down the line. Our nation is saturated with the influence of Christianity. And when you go trying to remove that from our society, you're removing our heritage. You're erasing history. That's why this is important to me, because it is an attempt to erase history from our country, which is a Christian heritage. Did you watch the ball game last night, Dave?
I did not, sir.
You didn't watch the Yankees? Are you like a lot of people? Baseball season is over now.
Well, I was kind of bummed that the Braves were out.
Because the Braves are out.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer. I used to pull for the Yankees when I was a youngster, but then I visited Fenway.
Yeah.
Got to see all the heritage of Boston, and I got torn, and I'm kind of leaning toward Boston
more.
You need
to come back on board.
Yeah, right. Well, how was the game?
Well, the game stunk as far as my team, but that's neither here nor there. The point I wanted to make, and you've seen the games, I'm sure, some of them, seventh inning stretch, 45,000 plus fans stand up, pay reverence to the fact that George Steinbrenner's granddaughter, and they rotate around different people, but that's who it was last night. 45,000 some fans stand up, pay reverence to the song "God Bless America." And when I was watching it last night, I was sitting there with my wife, and I stood up, you know, and I told her, at the seventh inning stretch, you know, I told her, I said, get up, you know. I was kidding with her. But anyway, I stood up. But I sat there, and I watched that, and I thought to myself, this is our heritage. People were not booing the singing of "God Bless America." In fact, that is known as our unofficial national anthem. The song "God Bless America," it was written, his name just slipped my mind, but in the early 1900s. And then it was revived at the end of World War II and sang on Armistice Day. And and it was played for many years on a ladies' radio program, the song "God Bless America." Now, they had gotten out of the habit of doing that, but after 9/11... Yankee Stadium and Dodger Stadium does it at every ball game, but all the other ballparks do it at the, you know, the 4th of July, Memorial Day, opening day, playoffs, and things like that. And what it did after 9/11, it caused Americans to have a desire to get back to their roots. And what did they sing? They started singing "God Bless America." And I was thinking about that last night. You know, is the ACLU going to stop the singing of "God Bless America" at Yankee Stadium and Dodger Stadium and all the other baseball stadiums across America? Because most stadiums are built in some way subsidized by taxpayers' money. You know, they give them so much to come to the city. They give them so much towards the stadium. That's going on in Winston-Salem right now with the Dash baseball team. You know, the city had to come in and bail them out and help them build the stadium.
That's a nice park.
Yeah. I've never been, but I'd like to go. But anyway, not everybody there is a Christian, but it was sung. And people seem to appreciate it, and they applaud, and they cheer, and it's a special moment. And why could we, after 9/11, so easily go back to that singing God Bless America? I mean, it hadn't been done for years and years. And the reason why we could go back to that is because tragedy causes us to seek our roots. And after the tragedy of 9/11, where do we go back to? God Bless America. We need God's help. That is our heritage. That it's easy for us to go back to. And when you talk about take down this flag, take down the Ten Commandments over here, that's erasing, that's getting rid of our heritage. That's what I'm against this morning. North Carolina has a very rich Christian heritage, and I've went over this many, many times, talked about this. But in the early 1700s, a preacher named George Whitefield, some people say George Whitfield, but he went up and down the East Coast. He was one of the most well-known figures in all of America at that time, more well-known or as well-known as Benjamin Franklin, George Washington. He had more exposure. More people knew him. He was a preacher. And he went up and down throughout the 13 colonies and preached. And he came through North Carolina, and he didn't have very good success in North Carolina. In fact, when he got out of North Carolina, he prayed, God raise up a John the Baptist and send him into that wilderness, because that's all North Carolina was at that time. And a few years later, God saved a man named Shubal Stearns. And Mr. Shubal Stearns was led of the Lord to come into North Carolina. He came out of Virginia, but him and some other people came into North Carolina. They started a church. I forget the name of the church now, but it's down around Sandy Creek, North Carolina. And there's a plaque down there. It says the mother of all Southern Baptist churches. And that is not Southern Baptist Convention, but Baptist churches in the South. And from that church, there was a mighty revival. And many, many churches, some like 5,000 churches, started in North Carolina, Southern Virginia, Eastern Tennessee, and on this end, but started out of that church. And they had revival, and they had preachers sent out into the wilderness at that time. And so and even today, I believe it's a good point today that, you know, if you listen in on Sunday mornings, all these announcements of different churches having revival, and they're going to have revival in the fall, and they're going to have revival in the spring, and all these different churches. I mean, that's just part of our heritage. That's the way it's been for years and years and years. And if you study into it, what you'll find out is that goes back to the times of Shubal Stearns in the state of North Carolina. That's our heritage. Why do we have revivals like the churches do? Because that's our heritage. It's been done literally for generations now. And I don't know where you would find these hard facts, but as a pastor now for many years, and I've been a missionary, and I've been in different countries even, I've been in many, many different states. Anywhere you go, like I went to Alaska last July on a missions trip, and anywhere you go, you're going to find missionaries. You're going to find preachers that are going to be from North Carolina. I mean, anywhere I've went, you go to Mexico, you go to the Philippines, and you will find other preachers from North Carolina. There's more preachers comes out of North Carolina. There's more churches in North Carolina. There is more missions money goes into missions out of North Carolina than any other state. That is our heritage. That's what I'm trying to stress today. Christianity is our heritage here in North Carolina. You cannot get away from that. If you do, you're lying to our posterity. You're lying to our children. If we take all these references to Christianity out of our public sight, then what we are doing, we are not being honest with our children about where we come from. the Constitution for the state of North Carolina. The original one was in 1776, and then there was a revision in 1868, I believe it was, and then there was another revision in 1971 or 1973. I can't remember, but we basically had three constitutions in North Carolina. Our North Carolina Constitution, if you go today to the General Assembly website, that's state of North Carolina, and you will find there the Constitution for the state of North Carolina today. Now, I'm not talking about the original one, although this was in the original, but today, if you go to Article 6, Section Number 8, when it's talking about being able to hold office, public office in North Carolina, and by the way, we're right in the time of political ads, and in fact, we came on the air just a few minutes later today, all these political ads. Now, are they qualified to hold office in North Carolina? You need to find out. One of the qualifications to hold public office in North Carolina, you go to the North Carolina General Assembly website, Article Chapter 6, Section Verse Number 8. I started to say the Bible says, but the Constitution says.
Force of habit.
Yeah. It says, the following persons shall be disqualified from office. First, any person who shall deny the being of Almighty God. So according to the Constitution, the North Carolina, the state of North Carolina Constitution, if you are an atheist, you are disqualified from holding public office in North Carolina. That, like I said, that's not the original version, although it was there. That's what you'll find today. Go to the website. Check it out yourself. You say, why is it like that? Because that's our heritage. That is our history. And here the ACLU comes along and these other groups, and, you know, we're going to take the flags down. What are they going to do? Are they going to stop people from, there's no stopping place. If people don't stand up now and say, no, this is our heritage, then the next thing you know, it will be, no, God bless America, the ballpark, because they could come along, make the case, taxpayer-funded, separation of church and state, no singing God bless America at the ballpark, no church youth day at the ballpark. You see what I'm saying? There's no stopping point. This is why it's important to me. This is why we even talk about it and support our friends in King, North Carolina. If you read the preamble to the North Carolina Constitution, listen to what the preamble says. This is the North Carolina Constitution, by the way. It says, we the people of the state of North Carolina, grateful to Almighty God. And let me say there, this is not a reference to any other God than the God of the Bible. This is not the Muslim God, Allah. This is not Buddha. This is not some general. This is talking about the God of the Bible. Grateful to Almighty God. Then it says, the sovereign ruler of nations. Reference there to who this God is. And then it says what they're grateful for. It says, for the preservation of the American Union and the existence of our civil, political, and religious liberties. They recognized in the preamble to the North Carolina Constitution that our liberties come from God. That's what they're saying they're grateful for, is the existence of our civil, political, and religious liberties. And look what else it says, and acknowledging our dependence upon Him. It's capital H-I-M. It's talking about Almighty God. Acknowledging our dependence upon Him for the continuance of those blessings to us and our posterity. That's me and my children and my grandchildren, your grandchildren. It said, do for the more certain security thereof and for the better government of this state, ordain and establish this Constitution. Our preamble to the state of North Carolina. What is the ACLU going to do about that? That is government talking about God. And they come along every time with this separation of church and state. You'd have to literally go through every state and go through their constitution and take out every reference to God, because it's not a generic God. It's a specific God. It's talking about the God of the Bible. This is our heritage. I don't know. I'm trying to stress that this morning. This is our heritage. This is where we come from. whether you like it or not, or whether you don't like it. You say, oh, I don't believe in God. Well, that is your freedom to believe that way. And people have fought. People have maintained what our forefathers gave us, what God gave us, so that you could have the freedom not to believe. And that's perfectly fine. That's all right. I don't want to pass any laws to make anybody believe anything, but I do maintain the right to have religious freedom and liberties and acknowledge that it comes from Almighty God. This is important to us today because for too long, here in America, we've set back. We let the devil have the victory. We let the liberal crowd and the progressive crowd have their way and make people feel ashamed to be Christians and make them be quiet through pressure, financial pressure, job pressure, political pressure, whatever the case might be. I found a quote, and I've heard it many times, but I verified it this morning. It's by a man named Edmund Burke. Edmund Burke was an English statesman. He was born in Ireland. He lived during the time of the establishing of America, the late 1700s. He was sympathetic to the American colonies. And Edmund Burke said this, "All that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing." And I don't want to be guilty when I stand before my Lord of doing nothing to preserve our religious, our civil liberties. I refer back to what Pastor Kevin Broyhill said when we had him as a guest here on the Blessings of Liberty, and we were talking about our religious freedoms, and he said, no fight is too expensive if it is spent for our liberties. Liberty is a precious thing. Freedom is a precious thing, and if we let it get away, because let me tell you something, in America, there is religious freedom. If the religion of Islam, you go to Saudi Arabia, you go to Afghanistan and try to practice religious freedom, and what you'll find over there is no religious freedom over there. In America, there's religious freedom. Why? Because Christians fought and died and have believed in this since our very inception, and it is very, very important to us. So if you can't go to King on Saturday, pray for those who are going. That's this Saturday, Main Street of King, North Carolina, at 10:30 in the parking lot of the Calvary Baptist Church, and they're going to meet there. David Gibbs III is going to be speaking, and he is in the Christian Law Association, and he's a great speaker. I'm looking forward to that. Well, anyway, time has come and gone. Brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Come visit us. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Wynn. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on WATA Boone.